ask you if you would please pray for us. And we're going to take our reading lesson out of very familiar Genesis chapter 22 to do with Abraham and Isaac. We'll go take a text out of Matthew chapter 5 then. And our thought is being surrendering or being submissive. I don't know about y'all. It seems like I see a lot of people that just don't have trouble with that, like maybe I do. I have a lot of trouble giving in a lot of times and doing what I'm supposed to do when I know to do it. The Bible says if you know to do good and you do it not, it's sin. And I believe that. I really do. So I know there's been times in my life where God wanted me to do things and wanted me to trust in Him. He was going to take care of me in it. And He was going to see it through. Man. And I doubted and run and fought and fit. But I find in the Bible different times where men were willing. And Abraham, the first time in the 12th chapter, you'll find that God told him to just get up and get out of the country. He leave everything that he trusted in. Everything that his lifestyle, his family, everything, just get up and leave and go. And Abraham done that. And it, when I find stuff like that, it amazes me because that just ain't my nature. I don't like, do y'all like change or anything like that? I don't. So stuff, just reading that right there, I just can't see me being willing. And I've known men that's been willing to do that. I remember Brother Don Curtis and me and Marty was friends, and me and Marty and Marty. And Don, the Lord called him to go up to Ohio and pastor a church, and Don just loaded up an old U-Haul truck and headed off and took his family, left his home. Stanley King lived right beside me. Done the same thing, went to West Virginia, left his house just fell down. Wasn't worried about it. Just trusted God that He was going to take care of him. And, you know, left his farm, his home there, and it did. I mean, his home just fell down. And I see men and women both that are willing to just follow after God and do what they want. And why have I always not been that way? Why have I always fought? And we find here that Abraham, the Lord, the Bible says tempted Abraham, but I believe what it means is tried Abraham. And he was trying Abraham to see if he loved his son Isaac more than he did him. And that's what it boiled down to. And he tries him or tempts Abraham. We're going to read it to you in a second. But we find where he sends him to go offer his son. And Abraham, when he said, "Here am I," he said, "What would you have me to do?" That's basically what he was saying. "What would you have me to do, Lord? Here I am." And I don't know about y'all, but for me, I find that amazing. That this man was willing to go and do whatever God. And the Bible says over in the Hebrew letter, even if he had sacrificed his son, he knew he'd be able to raise him back up again. So he trusted God that much. And I don't really think I'm the only one that's weak in this. I believe we have other people here today that God's trying to lead them and direct them to do things, and you just keep fighting against it. We're going to read to you in a little while about the Apostle Paul and how he fit against the pricks. Jesus said, "Why do you fight against the pricks?" Do you know what a prick is? We'll get to reading here in a little bit. But they take a stick and they potch them oxen with them. And when they work them oxen, they sort of move them along with that stick. And they would kick against it. They'd fight it. They didn't like it. Now, you're trying to direct them oxen where you want them to go by doing that. And doing that, they kick against them. And he asked Paul, "Why are you fighting against me?" But then Paul, we'll get over there, and we may read it, may not. I might be done in a minute or two. I don't know. But Paul finally gets, and he says, "Lord, What wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to do? He got to a point that he was completely surrendering to Jesus Christ. He was no longer willing to fight and kick against the pricks. He wanted the Lord to be pleased. What would you have me to do? Where would you have me to go? What would you have me to do with my life? And I think about people. I run from my call for 8 years to preach. He called Paul, saved him on the road to Damascus, called him to preach, and Paul was willing. And he told him, he said, you get up, go to Damascus, and you know that man you was going to arrest and probably kill? He said, you let him baptize you. That's basically what he said. I got to get my glasses. And Paul was willing to do it. He was submissive. He surrendered to him, and he said, you arise. I don't know about y'all, but I believe there's something happened when he told him, when he humbled himself, and when he got down to the place that he was willing, whatever, God, you'd have me to do. He said, arise. And I want you to realize today how you need to arise. You need to be willing to do what Jesus, God, is trying to direct you to do. I believe we got people here. I don't know your heart. I believe we got people here that God's leading to join this church. I wouldn't doubt if there ain't men here running from some kind of call. I'm thankful Brother Randall got up and said what he did. He was willing to go with Brother Brad down there in November. I want you to realize that's why I want to be more like. I want to be more like that. I want to be like when God says, you get up and go, you go and don't you worry about the results of it. I'll take care of the results. You just go and do what I'm telling you to do. We find Isaac said, he said, Father, I see the wood and the fire for the burnt offering, but where's the lamb? He said, God will provide himself a lamb. I want you to realize today, don't worry about the end results. We live in a time where everybody worries about this and worries about a letter and fellowship and all that kind of mess. And when God's leading and directing people, are we going to be found happily fighting against God? That's what Gamaliel told him. He said, if this be of a God, you can't fight it. Are we to be happily found fighting against God? Don't fight him. Just go with him. I want to tell you, it works a lot better. When I followed after him and got willing to do what he wanted me to do, didn't doubt him, but I trusted him, it works a whole lot better than it does fighting him. Marty and Clarissa sang that song, When I Lay My Eyes It Down. Amen. At the end of that song, it said he wasn't wanting something from Abraham, he was wanting to know if he loved him more than he did his son. I want you to know, Abraham, I done said, done been tried in this. He wanted to know, do you love me more than you do your family? Do you love me more than you do your job? I don't know. We may not read nothing. We may just quote it all or paraphrase it all. But when he called Matthew, they was there fishing then alongside the seashore. Here comes Jesus, and he said, you come and follow me, and I'll make you fishermen of men. How do you know what they done? They dropped their nets, and they began to follow after him. Why did they do that? Because they trusted the Lord. They submitted, they surrendered to him. Why is it so hard to do that? Why am I always kicking against the pricks? Why am I always fighting him when he's trying to direct me? You know what I find? I don't find just that Abraham probably need to read it, but Isaac surrendered. Bless his heart. I don't find nowhere where he fit against his father. He was a picture of Christ. He was like a sheep that brought forth the shears. He opened not his mouth. He didn't say a word. He was surrendered. His daddy took and laid him down to be sacrificed, and he brought the knife back. If it had been me, I'd been saying, "No, Daddy. Daddy, what are you doing to me? Why are you tying me up here, Daddy? Why have you got that knife? What is going on here, Father? What is going on?" But not Isaac. He surrendered to his Father's will. He was willing. Jesus Christ surrendered to the Father's will. He said, "Father, if it be thy will, remove this cup from me. But if it be not thy will, then thy will be done. I'll give my life for the world." That's the way Isaac was. I want you to know it wasn't only Abraham surrendering, it was also Isaac. I want you to realize today, you need to get to work. I need to get to work. We need to get to work. We quit fighting against the pricks, kicking against the pricks, and just let God be our director. Let Him lead, guide, and direct us in the path we should go. That truly is the old path. When we get to the point that we take the Spirit of God out of our churches, then we then have left the old path. That's right. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Behold, here I am." Amen. "Here I am, Lord, use me." Yep. "What would you have me to do, Lord?" And he said, "Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which will I tell thee of." God had never told him nothing he didn't want going to complete. And I want you to realize Abraham had to believe that he was going to offer his son there. But yet he said, "What would you have me to do? Here I am, Lord. What do you need from me?" And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and he saddled his ass, and he took his two young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood and the burnt offering, rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. And this scripture here has always got to be. And it said, and then on the third day, that third day, brother, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw a place afar off. He was riding along, no doubt probably had his head down. He was going through there, and he was thinking, "What am I going to do?" No doubt he had to be thinking, "Oh God, please don't let me have to sacrifice my son." And he gets there to a place, and he lifts his head. He said he lifted his eyes, and he saw that man. There afar off, he knew that's where he was going. All the dread got worse. I began to realize what was fixing to happen, but the man kept going towards the mark. The most of us would have went to turning that ass around, and we'd begin to doubt God and what he would have us to do and where he'd have us to go. And Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. Here they go walking up this mountain. His son packing the wood just like Jesus did.
Amen.
Packing the wood on his back. And then Isaac, he spake unto Abraham, his father, said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I." "What is it, son?" "My son," he said. He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide him a lamb for the burnt offering." So they went both of them together. And they came into the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and he laid the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood, and Abraham stretched forth his hand. And he took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." Oh, you know he loved to hear the voice then. And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thy hand on upon thy lad, neither thou do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeth thou hast not withheld thy son from thy only son from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket in his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Amen. He trusted God. There's been so many times I think, "Lord, He laid something on my heart. He laid something on my heart a year and a half, 2 years ago to come here and preach." And since then, our congregation went down some. There were some people got upset, and some left and didn't come back. It had been on my heart for months. I wouldn't do it. I knew when I preached that it was going to upset some people. You say preaching ain't hard? Try it sometime. You say you can do it? Hop up there. You love a bunch of people with all your heart. And then you begin to know about all their faults, just like they know about yours. You know where they're failing at, just like you know yours. They know yours. And then God lays on your heart, you go tell them they're wrong. You go tell them they need to stop that. And then you get out, and then you start, "Lord, I can't do that." And then what did he tell Jeremiah? "You fear not their faces." He said, "I'm just a child." He said, "I knew you from before you was formed in your mother's womb. And I've called you. You fear them not. You go tell them. You tell them, I'll touch your mouth. I'll give you the words." And then that day comes and you stand up and you look out across the congregation and you know they're not going to like it. You know people's feelings are going to get hurt. You know they'll never, some of them may never talk to you again. And that's when you find out what you're made of. And I'm going to tell you, I was weak, or it wouldn't have took me so long. But when I finally done it, exactly what I thought would happen did. There comes a point you have to find out, do you love the people or do you love God? And I want to tell you something. If you love God, you'll love the people. And if you love the people, you'll tell them the truth. when a preacher gets where he won't tell you the truth because he's scared of the congregation, then you need another preacher. And I was beginning to wonder if y'all didn't need another preacher, just to be honest with you. Because I didn't know if I could do it or not. I left that day. I always leave here. You can ask my wife, she'll tell you the truth. Y'all know me by now. I'll leave here and question everything I do. That's called anxiety. Not trusting in God. But I didn't leave here that day like that. I knew I'd done what I was supposed to do. I left here that day. Feeling like I'd sat down with my best friend in the world and said things to him or her, and knowing they was probably never going to speak to me again. And I felt like, why did I have to do this? See, that ain't where Abraham was. We've got to be able to follow God. If you're a preacher, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a lay member, when we get to the point where we're more afraid of men than we are God, then we've left the truth. Paul, I'm going to go over and I'm going to read that and I'll be done, I promise. And Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went up unto the high priest, and he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, any Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. I believe if it had been men or women or children, it didn't make no difference to him. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus and said, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and it fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecute. It is hard to kick against the pricks. I want to tell you, if you do it to the least of these, his brethren, you've done it unto him. That's why he said, why are you persecuting me? You're doing it to my children. You're doing it to my brothers and my sisters. You're doing it to my family. Why are you persecuting me? And he said, it's hard for thee to kick commence against the pricks. And in trembling, he was astonished and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. He got submissive. He got to a place he surrendered. What, no, we're not saved by works, but I want you to know, once you're saved, we should have them. Amen. We should be willing to follow him. You say, well, what did Paul have to lose? He had everything to lose. And he counted it all done. That's what he said in the scriptures. I want you to know, everything he'd been taught, everything he believed in, he gave it up and he followed the Lord, surrendering completely to whatever the Lord would have him to do. Most of us, me, went for 14 years without testifying. No telling how many times, Lord, I'd be sitting somewhere like right here, and the Lord saying, you get up and you tell them what I've done for you. I say, I can't do it. I just can't do it. You know what happened? I wouldn't do it. And I'd get up and I'd walk out and I'd go home and get whooped. And I'd be cold and indifferent. And I'd show up again and I'd be sitting there and they'd say, you get up and you tell them about when I saved your soul. I can't do it. I can't do it. You do this and you do that. He called me to preach. You get up and tell him you've been called him. I couldn't do it. And then I find somebody like Abraham. I find somebody like Paul. I find somebody like Peter. Amen. And John, they're willing to just drop everything and follow him. We find over there when Elijah passed the mantle unto Elisha. He said, let me go. I'll go back to my home first. And you know what that man done? He went and burned the oxen he was plowing with. He killed them and burned them and they ate them. You know why? He was afraid he'd go back to trusting in them oxen again. He wanted everything behind him. If Jesus had told me to burn my backhoe up, when he first called me to preach and the mantle got passed to me, he said, you just go burn that old case backhoe up. It'll be fine. I promise you, Jeff Likens would have went to questioning the Lord. Lord, how am I going to feed my kids? But that man, you know what he done? He just went and killed them and burned them, fed them to the people. He wasn't going to need them no more. I'm trying to tell you the difference. We talked a little bit about in Sunday school this morning about some of the bad examples of those people in the Bible. And I said, I'm glad they're there. Because then I know I ain't the only ones ever failed God. Right. But you know what I also am glad is there? For the good examples. For the times when they just dropped everything and said, I'm going to follow you, God, no matter what any man or whatever happens, whatever be the circumstance, I'm going to follow you. And they did. I say it got where I say this a whole lot. I feel kind of guilty anymore. When I preach, I get up here and I tell you about all the bad parts about me. I've got where I don't longer throw her on the bus. I throw me on the bus. I believe God's made me had to do that. It was a whole lot easier throwing you on the bus. But we're all just men. We're all just people. And I've got where I say this whole lot. I've told you about me, but now you're going to have to apply it to you. Are you willing to do what God wants you to do? Have you been called to preach and you ain't been willing to do it? Is he leading you tonight with this church and you're just scared to death to do it, afraid what this is going to happen, that's going to happen? Are you scared to just stand up and thank him for what he's done for you? Little Michael come up here a couple of Sundays ago. He come marching up through here and he got up here and he looked up to me and he says, there's a lot more people here than I thought it was. Just be willing. In a world of Jeff Likenses that run and go the other way, Be Abraham. Be willing to drop everything and do what God would have you to do. I can't imagine when Jesus come by there and Peter and them stand there and he said, y'all come follow me and I'll make you fishermen of men. And they just had their nets and they just dropped them. They said, okay, I'm going to follow you. I believe you. I want to be more like that. You know what I want? I want for you to be able to be more like that too. Amen. Because someday we're going to be old and we're going to lay on our deathbed and we're going to look back through our life and we're going to look at the times that we failed God. And then I preached on a sermon here and it was during the revival, last night of revival, and wasn't too many people here, but I'll tell y'all about it and then I'll be done. But I was in there laying in a bed one night, and I always watch, y'all ever watch TV when you go to bed? I don't watch it, I listen to it. I'll put on Dr. Poe or something like that, and I listen to Dr. Poe work on somebody's cow or something like that. And I hear that noise, and I go to sleep. It helps me get my mind off things, you know. I'm crazy like that. But anyway, she lays over here, and I lay right here, and I put the remote in between us. We was laying there, and I got dozed off just a little bit to sleep, and all of a sudden, thunder and lightning, boom! I mean, hit right there next to the house, and hit all lit up, and I just jumped. And you know what I done? I grabbed the remote control, and I tried to rewind it. I thought, I got to see what's happening here. And I thought, that's the stupidest thing you've ever done in your life. I thought, I'll never tell her or nobody else this. And it wasn't 5 minutes later, God said, you're going to go tell the whole congregation that. I thought, God, I can't go tell them I done that. That's the dumbest thing I've ever done. I don't know if I've ever heard anybody being that stupid. But next thing you know, I'm standing up here telling y'all. Doing it again right now, ain't that something? But I begin to, he began to bring to my remembrance all the things in my life. I wish I could just pick up a remote and hit rewind and go back to there and change it and do something different. One of these days we're going to be laying on our deathbed. And it's fixing to be time for us to go meet our maker. And you're going to be able to think about it all the times. God, I wish I just went ahead and followed you. Why was I afraid? Why wasn't I willing? Why couldn't I be more like Abraham? Why couldn't I be more like Isaac? Just lay down and let you know with me what you thought needed to be done. Why couldn't I have been more like Paul? What would you have me to do, Lord? Why could I have been more like Peter? Just drop my net. Why could I have been more like Jeremiah? Why could I have been more like Elisha? Why could I have been more like you, God? And I ain't going to say that's going to have nothing to do with you going to heaven or not. But it's going to have a whole lot to do with you hearing, well done, my good and faithful servant. So if we want to hear those words, we got to stop doubting and start believing. Starting here.